Clayton, let's hear now about the U.S. government's effort to control the export of weapons, cyber weapons. There have been some high-profile hacks this year against Anthem Insurance and also the Federal Office of Personnel Management. And one thing we learned from them is how software can be used to attack a network. The Department of Commerce is considering one solution, changing the rules to prevent this kind of software from being exported without permission. As NPR's Aarti Shahani reports, this has the cybersecurity industry up in arms.
Companies with names like FinFisher and Hacking Team sell computer code to repressive governments, who in turn use it for not so good.
The Bahraini government is accused of using surveillance software from a UK-based company to spy on a leading rights activist.
According to human rights reports, agencies in Bahrain, Turkmenistan, Ethiopia, the United Arab Emirates have monitored activists using spyware.
This is turning into a global phenomenon, and it's run by the private sector.
In response, back in December 2013, leaders from about 40 countries got together in a small town in the Netherlands. It's called Wassenaar. The U.S. and U.K. were there. So was Russia. China was not. The countries agreed on principles to control the export of software that can be used for surveillance. To make those principles binding in the U.S., in May, the Department of Commerce proposed rules. The agency did not respond to NPR's request for an interview.
These rules, these controls, are a reaction to what we see in the press.
Attorney Kevin King with Cooley LLP specializes in export controls.
Stories about governments that are using these tools to spy on their citizens.
Until now, U.S. regulation of software exports has been light. If I wanted to ship the game Angry Birds to people in Senegal or India, King says, I don't need permission.
That's right. Assuming Angry Birds isn't using encryption.
If I want to sell encrypted software that scrambles and encodes a message...
Well, you have to give it some thought, but the hurdles are very low.
Last year, a subsidiary of Intel was fined $750,000 for exporting encryption software to China. But that's a rare event. Compliance is easy, King says. There's a one-time registration form, a couple pages long.
And then maybe an annual reporting requirement.
King says the proposed rules create a new and big burden for companies and researchers. For any software that could be used to break into a network or smartphone, whether or not it uses encryption, the creator has to apply for a license before exporting.
You're going to be going in for every transaction, requesting permission to be able to, you know, release the software.
Critics say the problem with that is not simply or even primarily one of big government stepping on the toes of small business. It's that regulators are misunderstanding how security works in the world of software. Katie Masouris, chief policy officer at HackerOne, says code that can be used to break in can also be used to look for holes that need patching. It's dual use.
If you want to make a comparison to physical weapons, a knife can be used to chop vegetables and it can be used to kill people.
And in practice, Masouris says, bad guys aren't going to stop and ask for permission. So putting a public agency dead in the middle of private communication just slows down the good guys.
Having any kind of speed bump to defense actually makes the entire internet less safe for everyone.
Today is the last day for public comment on the proposed new rules by the Department of Commerce. Aarti Shahani, NPR News, San Francisco.